And hello everyone, I'm Jacob Wilkins, and welcome back to the Let's Talk Podcast. In my first series of episodes, I focused on interviewing and profiling various sports figures and personalities, including broadcasters, executives, and people within various facets of the industry. This year, the focus of the podcast will be far more narrow, as I zone in on mental health and sports, such as in one of our upcoming episodes where I interview Trini Kuznarek, a host and reporter with Comcast Sportsnet New England, who's been open about her battles with depression. In episode 3, I talk with David Duke, the head men's basketball coach at Adelphi University, in understanding the leadership elements of being a coach and how it is far more than a job, but rather a lifestyle. Or in our second episode, when I speak with Anthony Ceratelli, a longtime minor league baseball player turned film producer, about the mental grind of trying to get that call up to the majors for a decade. But in our season debut, I speak with Brett Gravett. The name may not stick out, but in December 2014, Brett was a highly touted Penn State soccer player. 19 years old, coming off a season where after overcoming injuries, he had scored an incredible game-winning goal in the Nittany Lions' first-round NCAA tournament win. He had made a smooth transfer from Akron before the season, and his future in-state college couldn't have been any brighter. Until the night of December 26, 2014. Where Brett, snowboarding with his brother, was in a freak accident that left him paralyzed. But that's just where our story begins.
Brett, you know, I was trying to figure out where to start. And I guess a good place is, and I'm no doctor, but if you can explain, like, with spinal cord and, like, exactly, not that you have to relive the accident, but just what happened in terms of physically that, you know, led to the, what goes into having a catastrophic spinal cord injury, as they call it.
Okay, so I broke my back, so I fractured my vertebrae in the thoracic region, which is kind of your chest area. So I first fractured my T6, but I'm a T4 level of injury, which is right around mid-chest. So from about there down, I have no feeling or movement. And so basically the reason for my paralysis is I severed my spinal cord, which controls all motor and sensory functions. And just that little incident just causes a lifetime changing like this. And it's pretty wild, but...
Yeah. And mid-chest down. So it from about here.
Yeah, so down. Just right around, just below the nipple line down. So no core, no lower back. Just all chest, lats, and everything above that.
How about feet? I mean, not that you can move, but do you have any
nothing lower body. No.
Okay. Gotcha. And boy, I mean, that's like taking your heart out because that's what you're using for soccer.
Yeah. It was definitely a whirlwind to swallow, but we'll move on.
Tell me about in Atlanta when you got down there for your rehab. It seems amazing that you were able to sort of have this perspective of, okay, I may not walk again, but now I'm going to refocus my efforts. What led to that?
Yeah, a lot of credit to them. They were great. They provided me with a lot of resources. They gave me mentors, people who've been in chairs for 30 plus years or so. Showed me what I can still do. I mean, it was, you're surrounded by a bunch of people who have different accidents, but you're all spinal cord injuries and you all have to figure out, go through rehab together. And just that experience was heartwarming, and to see that you're not alone, even though you feel like, why is this happening to me? But you see that there are other people that have accidents, and to hear other people's stories, it's just, it'll take your breath away.
Yeah, and tell me, did you feel like there was a paralysis sort of community or people that there was an immediate bond with those other people, and has that formed amongst others with these sorts of injuries?
Yeah, so they actually hire like mentors and people that go and talk to newly inhabiting people of the rehab, and they're supposed to mentor them with what they do, what little tricks, little life hacks. And I actually still keep in contact with mine, and also on Facebook I see my next door roommates or people that I went through rehab. And to see them, I mean, we're all about a little over a year out from our injury, to see them all back to living life. It's crazy. I mean, I probably will never see these people ever again, but social media and stuff keeps us in contact and can check in with these people every now and then.
Yeah, and so how? When did you? Was it around April that I read through your mom's blog that you made your first trip back to Penn State? When? What was the timetable?
It was around April, I think. Probably the end of April is when I first came back to live to stay at Penn State. I think I visited with like my parents while school was still in session. But at the end of April is when I came back, kind of to get reacquainted, and in May is when I started racing, actually.
In May, right. Mm-hmm. Now, and sorry for being all over the place time-wise, but going back in time, I was reading, you know, you think of all the basic things that you take for granted as a, and without being, and you can be as detailed as you want. Mm-hmm. You think as a guy, like bathroom, shower, how do you relearn these things?
Yeah, I mean, that was a lot of the rehab. That's a lot of the daily struggles you don't realize. You know, you can't reach the top shelf, curbs, stairs.
Right.
So especially getting back into school, luckily I can park right next to my classes, but you know, you got to find a new route. I mean, accessible entrances and stuff, showers, you find little tricks and nicks how to get it done, but there's definitely a lot to learn. But it's once you learn it, you feel comfortable with who you are again, and it's nice.
What are some of the tricks?
I guess it's just like, so I mean, getting in a tub, like how, I mean, you're wet, so I mean, what, how can you get in and out of it? Some people like to have like a chair in the bathroom to shower, but I mean, I just figured out for me, I just get in the tub, shower normally, and then get out of it. It's just the easiest way. I mean, for me, I like to have my room to look as normal as possible. I don't like to have a bunch of adaptive equipment laying around that looks unnatural. So, I mean, I don't need much. I have my chair and then modifications for my car to drive, and that's about it.
Right. Yeah. So, like, I guess you just sit in the shower.
I just sit at the tub and.
Oh, okay. I got you.
There's like a, whatever you call the
right. I don't know what they're called. I know exactly.
Yeah, the handheld shower heads that you just use, and it feels normal to shower again.
Usually with me, it's because I've just knocked it off.
Yeah,
you
know,
like, let's just get back on. So when you get back here in April to take that first visit, do you start? It's in your mind, I guess, you're going to return to school.
Yeah.
What were you majoring in, by the way?
Communications. So it's CAS, but it's Communications, Arts, and Sciences.
Is that in the liberal arts program?
Yeah.
Now? Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're doing that. That's still the plan. Are you thinking, I want to just get situated? Do you have a date for when you're going to start classes?
Yeah. So the initial to come back was just to get comfortable living on my own again. And then I think the goal, I was deciding whether I was going to do summer classes or not, but never really like summer classes. Totally different, like totally not related to my injury.
Right,
just,
right.
I don't want to take classes in the summer. So I knew in the fall I was going to start taking my classes and get back into being a full-time student again.
And so do you have to find a specially accommodated, you know, you talked about a car that has the right functions. Does the apartment have to be specified in a certain way?
Yeah.
Do you look for roommates?
Yeah. So, I mean, going through all that, obviously, some apartments, the doorways aren't fully accessible. You know, you got to be able to get into the bathroom to use the bathroom. So, so I had to change apartments just because the doorways were a little too narrow, a little bit bigger. I had to look for roommates and stuff. Yeah.
You find roommates or are you living here?
Yeah, found one roommate and I got random roommates now, so.
Oh, okay. How many you got here?
I have two.
Okay. So, you found a place that obviously has enough doorway room.
Yeah.
And I guess you want to find roommates that are understanding of, you know, your situation.
Yeah. I mean, I just recently got a new roommate. He's like within the last 2 weeks, he's transitioned fine. No problems.
Right.
He's hardly even here. So, I mean, but I've had three roommates total so far. I mean, one left last fall. I mean, but each roommate I've had has been no problem. They'll help out if I need help, but I mean, pretty independent by myself. And
yeah, you sound like it.
Like it's, yeah. it's like being a normal roommate. They don't have any troubles with me. I mean, we don't get in each other's way. So
got a lot of video games.
Yeah,
is yours?
Yeah.
What is it? Madden.
No. FIFA? I play FIFA and Destiny. I don't know if you've heard of that.
What's Destiny?
Destiny's the new. It's by Bungie. It's the new like kind of Halo kind of different.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's always stuck to the sports. Sports stuff. You good at FIFA?
Yeah.
So when you get, take me through sort of a normal day. Maybe it's totally normal, but take me through, I should say, a typical day in terms of getting to class and the things, as detailed as mm-hmm. you can be, the things that you do from when you get up.
Yeah, so I work out every morning about 8 o'clock before my classes, so about an hour, hour and a half or so on the track, either outside, inside, if weather permitting. And then straight from there, I go to my classes. On Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I have class from 9 to 2 straight through. So I get my classes done, bang, bang, bang. And then after 2, free to myself, eat, go home, relax, homework. Tuesday, Thursday, I don't have classes. So I get to sleep in a little bit later, train at 9:30. But I'll usually train, lift, eat, meetings, whatever, homework. And then at night, I usually like to roll. Workout. It's like a treadmill, basically.
Oh, okay.
For the chair, to just get a second workout on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Here at the...
Yeah.
Oh, you have it here.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say go to the track, is that part of what you're doing with Terry Jordan?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And for those that don't know, Terry Jordan, and you can correct me, runs the Ability Athletics yep. program.
Yeah, that's good.
And you've been working with her, I guess, since last May?
Yeah, almost a year coming up. So.
Yeah. And is that... And so that takes us sort of naturally to the racing component. How did... You looked it up yourself, I read.
Yeah, that was when rehab is when I first saw it. And initially, I was like, I never want to do this. And then I actually got in it, and I did, like, a little workout. I mean, I wasn't good, but I was like, it's kind of cool. Like, I researched it. I saw the Paralympics, like, at London when they were racing. I was like, wow, these guys are flying. Like, this is cool. Like, I kind of like the look. I mean, they have aerodynamic helmets. They're, mm-hmm. they're drafting, and it's the crowd. It was just so interesting to me, and I wanted to... I thought that I could do it. That's just how I got involved in it.
And so what does it entail? It's a different wheelchair. It looks... Is it not the same wheelchair you're riding in?
No, it's yeah, totally it's, different. It's,
right.
So, I mean, it's a racing chair. How you sit in it's completely different. You kneel, so you're laying, yeah. you're pretty much sitting on your knees, and your legs are bent underneath you so that you're flat in a more aerodynamic position. I mean, you have two wheels side by side, and then there's a front wheel that comes out, and it's no more than 12 pounds, the chair. I mean, it's super light. Has coated hand rims with tires, and you wear gloves that are rubber for the friction. So, I mean, so you pretty much punch in that hand rim, and that's how you propel yourself forward.
Does it look uncomfortable to kneel in? Is that
I mean, that's where the paralysis kind of comes in. You don't feel it. So, I mean, it's...
Oh,
for it. So it's pretty... Okay. I mean, it does hurt your back, so if you push for a while,
yeah.
your back will be pretty sore. But, I mean, it's... As far as, like, being in a tight... compressed, I mean, you don't really feel it. I mean, some people might because of where their level of injury is, but for me, I don't, it's pretty comfortable after a while. You get used to it.
And so where is the, what is the goal in the, you know, like, I guess in running, if you're just running, you're trying to run the fastest, is it how quickly you can punch that rim, or what differentiates a good wheelchair racer?
Well, who crosses the finish line first is pretty much
right.
It.
But how do you do? You know, if everyone's sort of in the same device.
Yeah. So I mean, there's a stroke.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot. It's a lot of technique. So I mean, once you get to a certain level, you need to have good technique and you need to have good conditioning. So I mean, the combination of those two will probably posit the best wheelchair racer. But I mean. Whoever pushes himself usually probably will win. I mean, there's endurance. A lot. There's a lot of endurance. I mean, there's a lot of strategy in championship racing, a lot of tactics. So, I mean, the race might be slower just because they're trying to be in a certain place for when they want to kick or when they want to go. They think they can take the race.
What are the tactics?
It depends on you as a racer. So if you have a top max speed, so like you're a sprinter, you're going to want to, you just want to be in contention for the race the whole time. Then it comes down to 200 meters left that you can kick and win that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know that you don't have the best kick, but you can just, little bunny rabbit just keeps going, you probably want to set the pace and tire everyone out and just pretty much go from the start. So, I mean, you have to figure out what are your strengths, what are your weaknesses, and apply that to the race.
What are yours?
I'm trying to figure that out. I'm pretty well in between. So I've got a good kick, but I've got some good endurance, so which kind of helps me out. So I'm trying to train both so that I'm well balanced.
And you're still like, you were ranked 22nd in the world or something?
Yeah.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm probably, so when we start racing this, I'll probably actually be higher, which is why I'm kind of interested to see where I'll fall once we start racing.
And when does that season start?
It'll start up real soon here. I'm not sure when my first race is, but pretty much in April.
Okay.
It'll be the IPC meets, which is the International Paralympic Committee, which are the certified meets.
Where's that?
They're different locations. Okay. So those are the ones where your times count for world rankings and stuff. And
like a qualifying?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, those will be the meets that for qualifications for international meets like the Paralympics and stuff, all those.
And then this culminates in the New York Marathon, Chicago Marathon, Boston ones you want to run, or is that separate?
It's kind of, it is a little bit separate because those are road races and okay. This is track.
Okay.
So however I do in these track meets does not matter for the New York Marathon.
Okay.
So I will do, I think I'm set. I'm going to do the Chicago and the New York next fall. So the Chicago, I'm not exactly sure when the dates of that. That'll probably be my first full marathon. And then the New York, just because that's one of like the big event and it's New York City, so it'll be really cool. But the thing with marathon racers is the guys who tend to be the best and win it have been doing it for years. And it's just like, it's an experience thing that you accumulate over time. So, being a good marathon racer will probably be more down the road as opposed to being a good track racer.
Probably some international stars like the New York Marathon where someone from Kenya can win it. Or
yeah. There's no Kenyan wheelchair racers, but yeah, there's definitely some. There's people, Australia, Swiss. I mean, they're all, there's definitely some people that can fly and keep some high speeds.
And these qualifying events, once you get past that, what are the big wheelchair races? Not the road races, but the ones on the track.
So there's Rio this summer.
Okay, right.
Which is September.
Right.
They all just passed this past, so it would have been last summer, which would have been World Championships, which were in Doha. And then the Parapan Ams, which is the North American tournament, so which would be the Pan Ams for able-bodied. But, so those are the two big international meets that would definitely be on the list for the future to do.
And I know you were thinking about Rio, is that...
Yeah, so right now I'm trying to just see if I can make Rio, see if I can hit the U.S. standards. I can tell you in June whether that I'll be able to make it or not, but I mean, we're going to try and, you know, I'm content with just being in contention and being looked at for the team. So,
and then in the future years, you'll still have these world championships, these Pan Am.
Yeah.
Every
so those are actually more every 2 years, I believe.
Okay.
And then every 4 for the Olympics.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
That's something to look forward to.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's all. I mean, they always relatively just be boring. You got to wait 4 years for a big international event. So.
Right.
There's always something to train for and look forward to.
Right. But even in your day to day, I would think having some sort of bigger goal in mind is so important.
Yeah.
To not getting frustrated in the day.
Oh yeah, stuff. Yeah. I mean, like the big New York City Marathon. That's every year. That's a big event. I mean, going to Boston. Those are all. So every year you have these little big events, and then every 4 years you got the big Olympics. That, you know. So I mean, it's exciting to do these different things.
switching gears for a little, let's talk college life in general. You talked about in one of the interviews, I think in the Penn State Magazine one, that, you know, you're visible when you're in a wheelchair. There's no hiding from it. Do you feel like people, as you said, people are curious, they're looking. Is that something you just become used to? Or is it almost that even though Penn State's a big school, it's a small school in a way, and that it's intimate, is it something where it's decreased?
Yeah, I'd say, I mean, I'm definitely recognized a lot. People will say they saw the article, whatever. I guess I just come used to it. I come blind to it, you know, numb to it. You just go through your daily life, and if someone says that, you just talk to them, and then you go on your way. So, yeah, I mean, definitely over time, it's become easier. I've gotten used to it. I know the protocol of what this conversation is probably going to be
about. What do they say?
No, I mean, they just ask. They're just like, they're interested about racing. They, you know.
Oh, okay. They're so like, they're talking. They know at least specifically about you.
Yeah, they'll be like. I mean, at first it was like, "Oh, I heard about your accident, and I'm sorry, or whatever. I'm glad you're back. Good to see you." You know, kind of that. And then now they, you know, they hear maybe your success or something, and they're like, "That's awesome, man! Tell me more about the sport, or tell me, you know, like something like that." Always positive. Always very friendly.
Oh, good, good. Yeah. And then where do you fit the time in with the soccer team? Is that in season?
Yeah, so usually, so I worked with them in the fall, but now because the Rio and the trials and all that, I'm actually not working with them in the spring right now, and I'll probably rejoin back in the fall for whatever they need. Plus, they'll be in season, so they'll need probably more hands around the office. Yeah, but in the fall, it was a lot of fun to see. It was a good learning experience to see the behind the scenes of what all the extras they have to do as a coach. I mean, as a player, you only see what they do on the field, but there's actually a lot that goes into their job, and it was cool to see.
And do you feel, was that a tough adjustment, though, to be on the sidelines? Did you still feel connected to the team?
Yeah, I mean, always you want to be able to, like, even if you're coaching, you want to be able to run out on the field and still be involved, but just to watch film and be around the guys, I mean, those are still my best friends. And even the bond that I got with the coaching staff, and then it did help me kind of readjust and feel like I was involved in the soccer team still.
I would think you don't want to be viewed, and you're probably not viewed as different there. You're just one of the guys.
I felt they did a real good job. They even like tell me they don't see me as different or I've changed. I'm still the same person. And to me, that's the world that they still see me as who I used to be, and that I am that same person. So
give you a hard time.
They're a good group of guys. So.
Yeah, I thought one of the cool pictures on Instagram was when those guys, I guess some of the guys from the team came down to visit you. Room.
Yeah. They came. I think a couple of them came right after when I was in UVA after I got my surgery, and then even a couple of them came down to all the way to Atlanta. So that was, I mean, those are just the little things that just help you get through stuff.
Yeah, I meant to ask with going to different places, and you always see it in the airport. You know, like someone with a wheelchair. But how does it work? I always wondered when you're flying.
So you pretty much go through it the same way. You get through security, but once you get to the gate, there's actually an aisle chair because the aisles are so narrow. I can't get my wheelchair through. So you actually, you know, transfer onto this little aisle chair, and they'll push you to your seat. Usually, you're the first person to board, so you don't have to wait. If there's always an upgrade, you usually get it. So I mean, there's some pluses. There's some negatives. You're the last person to get off the plane, though. So, you get comfortable with being patient. That's something you learn being in a wheelchair. But, it's literally the same. I mean, there's nothing.
Right, just those.
You don't have to go out of your way to plan the trip. I mean, you buy a ticket, you check your luggage, and you go to the gate, and you just tell them you need an aisle chair, and they bring an aisle chair, you get your seat. And
you sit in those normal aisle chairs? Like you're not in a separate chair, you're in just the chairs that are part of the airplane?
Yeah.
Boy, those are uncomfortable for me. I can... wow, that's interesting. And then from back to the college life for a sec. I mean, I guess you go to parties like anyone else, or can you, you know, I mean, these apartments are narrow.
Yeah, I guess that too. I mean, the apartments are better than, like, I can maneuver myself, but I mean, if you go to a house, you gotta get lifted up. And, I mean, people love it. They're like, yeah. They love to just, they like the effort, so it's funny. I mean, you get used to it. I mean, the first time I was kind of like timid about it, but now I don't even think about it. Like, yeah, I'm going, like, I'll be there, but it's still fun. I mean, just getting past that initial first time, like, this is who I am, but, and then now it's like, it's second nature. You don't even think about it. People are accept it. So,
and you're with your buddies, I guess. Yeah. Who are like that protective arm, or
yeah. I mean, you always. I mean, normally you always go out with somebody you know, just for safety. So yeah. I mean, it's not nothing new to have somebody or a couple people you know to just look after you. So I mean, I've never ran into any problems or anything. So
well, good. But you can live that sort of normal college social life and interact with people. Dating, I mean,
I mean, it's always a mystery, but
it doesn't matter what year you're in.
Yeah, but it's, I don't have to use a pickup line anymore. I mean, it's pretty much the chair is nice. Usually I just sit there and man, they'll come up to me. And so I just, you just, they'll ask questions and I mean, it's the best icebreaker I got is that wheelchair. So I mean, not much has changed with that, which is great. So I mean, it's always fun to meet new people.
Yeah, but you can go on a date. I guess you just come with your wheelchair. Yeah. Go into a restaurant and they seat you.
Yeah, it's always interesting to meet somebody for the first time. That, like, they know you're in a wheelchair, but you're always interested how they're going to react with that. I mean, most people are. I mean, they see how able and functional and independent you are, and they're like, "Oh, like he's perfectly fine." Like. And then they see, you know, that you're racing or whatever, you're doing all this stuff, and they're always intrigued by it. So,
and it seems like you're traveling a lot. I thought of with girls, those two cheerleaders at that event, the iMobile event, or what, the one you were being honored for?
Oh, Walking with Anthony.
Right. So you're at a lot of these events. You know, how has that been? Does it get tiring? Again, it goes back to that standing out thing.
Honestly, that's the, it's, I mean, they help fund me to, you know, train for the Olympics and stuff. So, I mean, it's, I'm honored to be there. So, I mean, it's, I'm willing to travel, you know, because they'll go the extra mile for me. So, I mean, traveling to, I mean, I think it was in Virginia. So, traveling to Virginia, that's nothing for me. So,
right.
So, I mean, it's really not that energy depriving. So.
Right. Has there been a moment, an interaction with someone when you're on, you know, one of these events that stood out, that stuck with you, a person you've met that had something inspiring to say?
I can't think off the top of my head.
Or an event in general, something that really stood out.
I mean, just that Walking with Anthony, they...
What was that about?
They, it's... So... Anthony is, he's also a spinal cord injury, and they started, him and his mom started a foundation to fund newly injured people with whatever their dreams are or whatever, and they actually funded me $10,000 to train for the Olympics. So, I mean, that stands out pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, just to have that support of that foundation is a world.
And... Is that separate? I know you're doing some work. I'm Mobile Foundation, or
tell me about some. I am Able.
I am Able. I'm sorry.
So I'm Able. They had like was the first chair I used was one they had kind of laying around. So that's how I got started. And what they're doing even now is they're going to help me get to the New York Marathon.
Mm-hmm.
So that. That's kind of the stuff that they're doing with me. So I think they're working with a local frat TKE to help raise money for all that, for all the expenses to go to New York.
Let's talk about your family for a little bit. How have your, you know, when I look at you, and granted it's social media, you know, it's snapshots. But it's, and even seeing you, it seems like things are good, you know, as good as they can be, that you're upbeat. And reading your mom's blog, she's the concerned mom.
Mm-hmm.
How have they handled it? How are they doing?
I'd say my mom probably might have the hardest time with it, and still. Just because I'm so independent. Like, just because I want to be on my own, and, you know, I think they would want to have me around much more, but just who I am and personality-wise, I like to, you know, be out on my own. So I think she probably had the toughest time, and probably all of them did, but she's found ways like the blog, and she started running. They have, like, a running group and stuff, so... she's found different outlets that helped her find a positive look on this. As far as my dad, I don't really know how he... Me and my dad are a lot alike that, you know, we don't really share our feelings. We keep it to ourselves. So how much it really affected him. I know it affected him initially when he couldn't come to Atlanta as much as he wanted. He could only come for one week at a time because of work and stuff. So I'm sure that was tough for him. But... like I was saying, we kind of keep our emotions to ourselves, and that's how we go about living.
What are the emotions you feel, though, if I know you keep it to yourself, but...
I mean, for the most part, I'm pretty upbeat and fine with it, but, I mean, just like everybody else, you know, you have bad days that have nothing to do with your injury, that, you know, you just wake up, you don't feel good, not necessarily sick, but you just... feel a little down, you know, why am I doing this? I don't want to do it. But, I mean, that has nothing to do with my injury here. But, yeah, for the most part, I'm pretty fine, pretty content with staying on the bright side of life.
How are your siblings doing with, I know, your brother Christian, he was there when the accident happened. What has been the effect on them, and how do they, you know, deal with it?
I think, I'd say definitely now, I mean, they're all, just to see me independent and stuff, they're all fine with, and they're like, wow, they, you know, it's pretty much life's back to normal. I know that my brother being there, that was probably really hard for him, and I've actually never really talked to him about if it ever, like, haunted him or whatever, just seeing it in person. But definitely, I mean, it probably has a little traumatic effect to see something like that. My sister, she's always been supportive, so I think that's how she's found a way to, like, cope with the change. Kind of actually brought us all closer and stuff back together, so.
Closer relationship?
Yeah. I mean, because it's at a weird point in time where, you know, we're all in college, we're all graduating, and then we're all getting different jobs, so we're all... trying to figure out what we're doing with our lives, so we kind of, like, get distant from our own family, but kind of brought us back a little bit together. I mean, not, like, overly distant. Like,
right, I got talk, you.
But,
I got
we,
you.
We spread out, and it probably actually reignited the bond between us and brought us closer.
How much older is she than you?
My sister's 25, my brother's 23.
And you're 20?
I'm 20.
Gotcha. And your mom's a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like in her blog, faith is a big thing that helps her at least deal with your situation, among, I'm sure, other things in life. Are you, is faith a big part of your mindset?
Yeah, I say yes. I mean, me and my mom are very different. She's very outspoken about it. But, I mean, just based on how the situation occurred and how everything's lined up, I'd like to... think that it wasn't coincidence and stuff. So, I mean, I'd definitely say that faith has been something that's gotten me through this.
And looking forward, now I know the racing is going to be a big part, and not to be cold about, I don't know if is there money making in racing? I mean,
yeah.
Oh, there is? Okay.
Yeah. So, sponsorships.
Right.
You win races, you get money rewards for it.
Right. I mean, do you see that as like your full-time gig or?
I mean, that's not a very lavish lifestyle. But yeah. I mean, that's something I want to do.
What else do you want to do, I guess, is what I'm asking.
That's what I'm trying to figure out in college. But definitely something in the sports world. Maybe even coaching wheelchair racing would be cool, or something in that aspect. Definitely something related to sports, or even like brands of sports or something in that.
Like world. Sports management.
Yeah, or something in the business, you know, I mean, right. Anything that has to do with sports.
Yeah. Do you watch a lot of soccer? I know you're involved with the team, but do you watch a lot of soccer recreationally?
Yeah.
EPL?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, EPL, La Liga, all of it. I only usually really watch soccer, or college sports are my go-to.
Soccer and college sports.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you go to the Penn State football games?
Yeah.
Cool. Easy to... Well, that's hard to navigate for anybody.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's a big stadium. Yeah. But elevators, yeah.
What other interests do you have? What do you do in your spare time? I mean, this seems pretty exhausting, but...
Yeah. Video games.
Yeah.
TV, yeah. Movies, pretty much. Anything that's non-physical activity.
Right. Talk to me about it. It seems like Terry really took a liking to you immediately. Talk about that relationship and how it's, you know, evolved from not just, you know, coach, athlete, but to what it is now.
Yeah, so I'd say we're both very dedicated people. She expects a lot from her athletes, and I think that... I'm able to rise to those and even exceed expectations. So, to see from her perspective, I guess my desire and self-motivation to be this racer of some sort relates that she wants to work hard to help me achieve these goals. So I feel like that... Having that has just made the bond between even stronger, and it's even though the program isn't very big as far as number of athletes, so it kind of actually works out in my favor because it's more of a one-on-one. You know, you get a lot more attention, whether you want it or not, sometimes, but it's good.
Well, what are they, how many other athletes are they? Are they on wheelchairs or just, I guess it's any disability, right?
Yeah, so right now I think there are, including me, it's like 5 or 6.
Okay.
So there's 2 guys that are amputees, but like 1 leg below the knee, who throw. There's a swimmer. There's a guy who wants to get into triathlons. What was that, 5?
I guess. Yeah, okay. Swimming. Oh, yeah, someone that swims. That's interesting. You ever go swimming?
I've swam, yes.
Yeah. That's cool.
I didn't like swimming before, so it's kind of like...
You know, no.
I mean, it like feels good. It's like a good cross, like good on your joints, easy. Doesn't, you know, you do a lot of pounding, so... I should go swim more for like recovery or something.
And are these like compression, what you got on?
Yeah, I'll wear these for, just for my workout.
Okay.
So, I mean, because your chair's so narrow, it's literally, you need tight clothing.
Mm.
So, I mean, the more, I mean, I could wear shorts and stuff, right. But it kind of looks funky.
Right.
So you wear tights so that you can get into your chair.
Okay.
And that it's, so everything's tight.
Right. And otherwise, you have normal clothing. It's not like
nothing
special. Is there in the medical community? I know they, you know, the initial diagnosis was that it was going to be, you know, long shot, I guess, in terms of walking it, whatever they said.
Yeah.
Is there research being done, like with anything, mm-hmm. where there could be a way that you could, you know, have a better chance of walking again?
Yeah, I mean, there's. You see it a lot online and stuff. There's tons of stuff with stem cells. I mean, I don't know much about how all that process works, but I mean, they're doing trials and stuff. You see, like, robotic electronic walkers and stuff where, I mean, it doesn't cure your paralysis, but you can walk. I mean, those are still in the very beginning stages. So, I mean, but where we are in 10 years, who knows, 20 years. But there, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that that shows that there is progress being made. So, I mean, as far as my diagnosis, I mean, with the current state of where we're at in medicine, I mean, it'll probably be permanent.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, that's just... But, I mean, that's where we are right now. Mm-hmm. If nothing were to change. And, I mean, I'm content with that. I mean, I've moved on. I've learned how to live. But, I mean, you're always having in the back of your mind that maybe someday I will walk again. And, you know, that's kind of a cool story to say that, you know, you're paralyzed for 20 years and now I can walk.
Like, yeah, yeah.
I mean, but...
Yeah, but you're still young.
Yeah, I mean... So who knows what will happen, but I don't live to conquer my paralysis.
Like okay.
That. So it's, I mean, if that's your only goal in life, it's, you're going to, you know, I mean, I don't control whether I can achieve that or not. So, I mean, you want to set goals that you can control or that are at least possible.
Outside of the marathons, what are your biggest goals right now?
To make the Paralympics.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully eventually win medals at the Paralympics.
Anything else where you think, just in day-to-day life, or something you want to do better, or something you want to dedicate more time to?
Just get a good job. get a sustainable job. It's just, yeah.
Are you a junior now?
Yep.
And so...
Graduate, that would be a good one.
What about... So, since you weren't here, obviously, for a period of time last year, when are you on target to graduate?
I'm actually... If I take summer classes this summer, I can graduate on time.
Are you going to bite the bullet and take the summer classes?
I probably will, depending on whether I make the U.S. team or not. So, I mean...
Okay.
But, yeah, I'd rather take it now than have to stay an extra summer when all my friends are graduating. And I'm like, I'm going to still be here. So I'd rather do it now than wait.
Yeah. Hey, it can be in worse places.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's 12 credits in the summer and 15 and graduated. So it's not that bad. Just get it done in a year.
Right. And so lucky to... With that ability athletic, that it's such a highly ranked program,
mm-hmm.
to be able to go to that rather than be at a school that didn't have that in
place.
Yeah,
that's one of those things where, I mean, that's coincidence or whatever you want to call it. That's crazy how it worked out.
And we'll wrap up soon. I know you don't discuss feelings much, but how would you describe yourself, Brett Gravett? What are the words you would use?
Aspects.
Yeah, what personality, you know, mindset, personality. Someone used the word tough when I mentioned I was interviewing you.
I'd say sarcastic.
Really? I'd say that genuinely, Ben.
Yeah. I don't know, just trying to... Jokester. I mean, try to make light of difficult situations. I mean, I'd like to think that over the years I've become mentally tough. I mean, I've been taught as an athlete to be mentally tough, so I think to apply that to life situations has helped in my experiences. But probably my brother, probably goofy.
Yeah.
What they call it.
Well, that's, hey, being able to make light of a difficult situation.
Yeah.
The right attributes to have here.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for the time.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it.
And be sure to check out our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and type in Let's Talk with Jacob Wilkins. Like our page and check out some exclusive videos we'll be posting from my interview with Brett, including a tour of his apartment and how his car has been customized so he can drive. Pretty cool stuff. We'll also post articles throughout the week relating to sports and mental health. and want to be sure to credit The Secession for our theme music. You can check them out on YouTube. Their channel, The Secession. It's one word. You type in T-H-E-S-E-C-E-S-S-I-O-N. They've got a lot of great stuff. That does it for our first episode of this new season of Let's Talk. Next week, we explore the life of a minor leaguer with longtime baseball player Anthony Ceratelli. Take care, everybody.